Welcome to the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with your host, accountant and author Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA. Join Carol as she shares her knowledge on a topic of interest to everyone, money. On the show, Carol will discuss starting and running a microbusiness, teaching your kids about money, and managing money in a homeschool organization. Carol takes confusing topics such as money and business and puts them into clear English. She's ready to share her knowledge with you on today's show.
Hi, this is Carol Topp, your host of the Dollars and Cents Show. Welcome to episode number 54 of the podcast. The topic is starting a microbusiness. This, like a lot of my podcasts lately, is the first of two parts. I've been sharing with you in this podcast presentations I have been doing at homeschool conventions, and the workshops are normally an hour long, and since I don't like to make hour-long podcasts, I like to keep them to a half an hour. I've been doing a lot of two-part podcasts. So this is like that first part of a presentation I did at a homeschool conference in Michigan, and the room was full of teenagers and their parents, and they got some tips on how to start a microbusiness, but then they asked a lot of really good questions, and you'll hear that in the first part of this podcast, and make sure you listen to the second part. That'll be episode number 55, because I answer a lot more questions. The parents and some of the teenagers had questions about really important things when you run a business, like record keeping, sales tax, how to avoid some taxes. I give you some tips about that. And I also mentioned my website specifically for teenagers and taxes called teensandtaxes.com. So to learn more, you might want to check out that website. Of course, after you have checked out my website, Micro Business for Teens, which will help you think about how to start a micro business, and check out the videos that I have there as well as my books. And I think you'll find them helpful and inspirational as you figure out how you can use your talents and skills to make some money. So I hope you enjoy this episode of the Dollars and Cents Show on starting a micro business. Well, welcome everybody to Micro Business for Teens, starting a micro business. My name is Carol Topp. I'm a CPA. Who knows what that means? Kids, who knows? Grown-ups do. Who? Kids? Any kids know what that means? What's this? What's the A? No? Accountant. Do you know what the C and the P mean? Anybody heard of this? Certified public accountant. Certified means I took a very hard test, and I passed it. It's like your all 4 years of college scrunched into 2 days of testing. Now they do it all online, and the kids don't have to take it brutally like we did in 2 days. But imagine 4 years of college shoved into 2 days of testing. That's what made me certified. Public means I help the public as opposed to just helping one company or one corporation. I have lots of clients. I like to help teenagers. And especially teenagers who, like you, or parents who, like you, are interested in finding out how they could maybe earn some money and maybe learn something while they're doing it. And the way I got interested in doing this is this kid here, Philip. Philip was about 15 when he started a website. It's still up there. It's called, what is it called? I just drew a blank. Freeforums.org. And Philip had ads on his website. It was a forum website where people would form forums where they could talk about whatever topic they were interested in. And he was very good about driving traffic to his website and putting up ads and getting people to click on the ads. And he was getting checks every month from Google Ads for the, you know, the ads on his website, right? So his mother called me because she's getting worried. She says he's getting checks every month. This is great. What a great micro business, right? She said, Carol, you don't understand. The checks, they're for $1,000 a month. Kid's 15 years old. And she said, I think he's going to owe taxes at the end of the year. That's why she called me. I said, yes. So I met Philip, found out what he was doing, that he knew a lot about driving traffic to his website, setting up a website, things like that. He did not know a whole lot about record keeping, taxes, stuff like that, which is where I came in. And as I worked more with Philip, I realized there were books for little kids about, like, lemonade stands, okay? And then there were books for grown-ups, like, about
entrepreneurship or venture capitalist or hiring employees and things that didn't apply to teenagers, certainly not Philip. And so I thought I want to find something appropriate to him, and like a good homeschool mom, I couldn't find it, so I wrote it. So anyway, Philip is a great inspiration. So his story goes on to say that he was very successful at running this business. $1,000 a month turned into $50,000 a year when he was in high school. Just income, yeah. And then he called me one day as a senior in high school, and he said, "Mrs. Top, I got an offer on my website." "Oh, cool, Philip. What do they offer?" $350,000. That he started from scratch in his basement, right, with what he already had, his computer. And he put in a lot of work, don't get me wrong. It wasn't like it just flowed in. He worked hard. And I said, "Wow, that's great, you know, that's great money." And he said, "Well, my advisors are telling me it's worth more. I'm going to counter with $1 million and see what they say." I thought, "What? No, dash this kid." But he really did get a counsel. They actually negotiated up to, I think, about $700,000 or $750,000, and he walked away because he was still having fun. You can see it in the video. They interviewed him. He was still having fun. He thought it still had somewhere to go. So he went off to college, and he continued to run his business. And I will tell you the end of the story at the end of the workshop, because that's not the end of the story. Philip ran a business. A micro business is a very simple business, very easy to start, very easy to shut down. I have to turn this so I can see my own notes. One owner, no employees. Philip would occasionally hire independent contractors. He would find these people all over the globe. He'd be like, "Mrs. Top, I've got this guy who makes buttons and graphics for my website." And I'm like, "Okay, do you have to give him a 1099? It's a tax form at the end of the year." "Well, I don't know. He's in Russia." Okay, so I'm Googling Russia, you know, trade agreements with the United States. He was very challenging to me as a CPA, but he was a great kid. Still is a great person. One owner, very little startup needed. Philip started with the computer he had in his basement. He went on to buy another $5,000 computer with his profits, but he started with what he already had. He was home-based at the beginning. When he went to college, he needed two dorm rooms, one for him to sleep in and one for his three monitors and two computers. So anyway, one for his business. Crazy. Fun. Crazy. So anyway, that's what a micro-business is. Easy to start. Usually no debt either. It should be very low-risk kind of business, very manageable. Philip, this is him. He played varsity baseball. He was homeschooled up to high school. Then he went to public high school, I think mostly because he wanted to play baseball. It was easy to close down. If you get tired of what you're doing, I want it to be easy to close down. I've got some tips on easier businesses. Ultimately, Philip modeled the real reason why we as parents would encourage a micro-business, and that's so the kids can learn a lot. They want to earn money. You all want to earn money. I want you to learn a lot while you're earning that money. And you start out small, and then it can grow into something bigger and bigger and bigger if you want it to. Or something completely different as you get older and find out what other kind of things are fun to do. The number one question I get, even people came to my booth, was, "Well, what are some ideas of what micro businesses are that teenagers have?" So I'm going to tell you, one of the best places to go is my website, Micro Business for Teens, but especially my Pinterest page, because anytime I see new ideas, I pin them. Okay, guys, do you know what Pinterest is, Kayla? You've heard of it. Never been out there? It's not just for girls. Get your sister, your mom, to show them my Pinterest page, okay? Lots of ideas. But basically, the first thing you need to do when you think about a micro business is you need to see a need that you can meet. A girl came up to my booth at a homeschool convention like this, and she started complaining about the micro business she had was not working. Whatever she had to sell was not selling. And I said, either your marketing isn't good, you're not marketing, or you're not meeting a need. Only if you're meeting a need are people going to part with their money. Okay? So, you know, a need that's out there is childcare. Actually, if you're willing to take care of people's children or pets or houses, there's almost always a need, and they will usually pay you for it, right? This is why babysitting is like one of the greatest micro businesses around. They want responsible people to care for their children. And actually, there's a real need if you're a guy and you're willing to babysit. And they're called mannies. Have you heard of that? Mannies. Do you know what that means? Male nannies. Mannies. There was an article in the Wall Street Journal about this a month or so ago. And sometimes you guys can command a bigger price or a higher price because you're willing to do things, especially with boys, that moms, especially single moms, don't want to do. Like, you know, more of the roughhousing or playing the video games or stuff like that. So, see a need. If there are single moms in your community, in your church, in your neighborhood, and they have boys, offer to babysit, be a man. You see a need. This picture reminds me, though, of Kristen, who saw a need for childcare during the summer, and what she had a really neat idea. What she did is she loved books, she loved kids, so she decided to combine the two, and she held what she called book club. So for 6 weeks during the summer, she had a set time, I think it was Tuesday mornings, for like 2 hours or maybe three or something like that, she held book club. She charged a fee, something like $45 for the 6 weeks, okay? And she would read books to kids, the kids who paid to come. She would feed them a snack and do a craft all related to the book, probably horses or something like that because it was girls usually. And the kids liked it. And the parents knew at this set time on Tuesday morning, this kid's going to go to book club and basically I have babysitting. It was so popular that she was asked, could you do it for the older kids in the afternoon? And it was nice and it was manageable. It was only for 6 weeks in the summer. It's different from babysitting where you're waiting for someone to call you. It was more proactive, like run a book club during the summer. Just a little twist on a very old idea of babysitting. See a need, try to meet it. Also think about your interests, your desires, what you're good at. So this is Adam, and he is a natural-born actor. He's done some community theater. And what he did was dress up as a Jedi Knight and go to boys' birthday parties. In character, in costume. He actually had a name and a persona for himself, okay? He would teach them how to fight with lightsabers, as you see. Pretty cool. I think that's crazy inside. I don't know. It looks like a nice day. Why are they not outside, ladies? I do not know. Anyway, Adam is about 15 in this picture. He would charge, I think, like $50 or $75, depending upon how long you wanted him. And he would give a certificate at the end. You are now a Jedi Knight. And that was his tagline, too. Do you want to be a Jedi Knight? Yeah, who doesn't? I want to be a Jedi Knight. Anyway, he was booked like 3 months in advance. Because he wanted to keep it manageable, he would pick what Saturdays he was willing to do a birthday party and when he didn't. But hey, $50 for a couple hours of work on a Saturday, pretty good business. He's not doing this anymore. He's now 18. I think he's ready to graduate from high school. I looked him up on Facebook recently. He's got a band and he's selling CDs. And his band is making money. That's another micro business. Not something he planned to do the rest of his life, but it was sure a lot of fun for him for a little while when he did it. Okay? It was his interest. It's gone on to something else.
More than 50% of teenagers were unemployed last summer. Are you a teenager who needs some money but can't find a job? You can earn money by starting a business, and Micro Business for Teens will show you how. You'll learn how to come up with a great idea, test it, and avoid common pitfalls. Discover the secrets to success, put into action what you learn, and before long, you'll be raking in the profits. Check out Micro Business for Teens website for ideas and profiles of teenagers who are running their own micro businesses. Visit microbusinessforteens.com and get started earning money today.
Now, so think of a need you can meet out there. Got to meet a need or people won't part with their money, but also obviously something you're interested in or you're skilled in. If you're skilled in algebra, you can teach someone younger than you. If you are bilingual or have had a few years of Spanish or something like that under your belt, you might be able to teach somebody who's a little bit younger. If you know how to play piano, do what my daughter did. She gave piano lessons. If you're good with your camera, do what my other daughter did. Take senior pictures. Okay? You're good at something, so you can probably turn into a micro business. You just have to find a need. Okay? A lot of times kids think of products. I will sell a product, because that's what you used to see. And usually the girls think, I will sell what? What do the girls always sell? Jewelry. Yes, they do. Jewelry. There are some problems with products, though. I want to talk to you about that. And one of the problems is you may not be unique enough. in your jewelry. What makes you unique that they're going to buy your jewelry instead of somebody else's? Is there really a need for your jewelry when there's so many people out there selling jewelry? I forgot to bring it along, but I usually bring along a really cool product. Now you'll see it in the picture. Instead, I encourage you to think about services. Because, here's a product, and I have it down at my booth, so maybe you can come and look at it. But there was a boy in Ohio named Hart Main who came up with a really neat product idea, very unique. He sells candles with manly scents. So his sister was selling candles with girly scents, as he called them, and he wanted candles that had guy scents, smells, okay? Like, the one I have down at my booth is New York Style Pizza, but they have smells like dirt and freshly mowed grass, grandpa's pipe. He's got a whole bunch. I can't even remember. A whole bunch, as you see there. So it's a very cool idea, and his business went viral. It just went around the internet. He's also been featured on the PBS show Biz Kids, if you've ever seen about that. It's really cool what Hart does because those are soup cans. He empties the soup and donates it to a soup kitchen, and then he has the soup cans there. Anyway, he got so busy after his website went viral filling these orders for these man cans, as they're called, candles with manly scents, that he just couldn't keep up. He couldn't keep up. He put on his website, you know, I got my mom and my sister to help me. I'm filling orders as fast as I can. Sorry, but I still have to go to school, you know, because he did. He was not homeschooled. So anyway, products, if you have a neat idea, sure, go for it. But products have problems. Can you see what this is? What does that look like? It's a minivan full of soup cans. So here's one of the problems with products, and that is inventory. So Hart had to deal with the physical storage of the inventory. He also had to think, and he had to try to figure out, well, how much am I going to make? Because you have to make it before you can sell it when you're selling a product. Do I make more dirt-flavored candles or more pizza-flavored candles? He's got to do good record keeping so that he knows what sells. He also has to take care of sales tax. Did you know that? As a teenager, you are not exempted from sales tax. You must collect and pay sales tax. Every vendor downstairs, and I have to too. I have to collect and I have to give sales tax to the state of Michigan. So anyway, there are plenty of problems with products. So instead, I usually encourage you to use what's between your ears, your brain, or what's in your muscles, your hands, or your back, which means you're selling services, which is really selling your time. You're selling your time, okay? I had fun one day with my time, and I just, what is the app that does that? Everybody remember? Anyway, I made a Wordle. That's it, Wordle. And I made just a cute little Wordle. So let me read off some of these ideas of services that teenagers have done. Blogging. Cleaning. Remember I said if you're willing to take care of people's houses? Yes. Cleaning. Even decorating around Christmas time. They might pay you for that. Dog walking. Event planning. Writing. There's a couple of YouTube videos with me doing a workshop at another homeschool convention with a teenage published author named Rachel Coker. A lot of fun. Tutoring. If you, like I said, if you're good at algebra, if you're good at anything, you can tutor somebody younger than you. Child care, lawn care, pet sitter, website design, app designer, virtual assistant, bookkeeping, music lessons, editing, author is similar. Music lessons, very, very good if you're at a point where you can teach somebody else how to play the instrument you play. In the video I keep referring to, Ethan's in there. Ethan's a kid who was making like $100 a month with one student giving him guitar lessons. Question? Yes, sir.
So do you recommend using online platforms to do a lot of this record keeping and so forth for services like an Odesk or Elance or something?
He's asking about online services for record keeping. No, I actually, for a micro business, for a teenager, I recommend you start out simply with just a spreadsheet. And then eventually, Philip, earning $50,000 a year, I was doing his bookkeeping on QuickBooks. So he got to the point where he was a busy teenager and he hired me to do. Olance and Freelance are ways where you find the jobs. Do they do record keeping as well? I'm not familiar with that part of Olance and Freelance.
You can actually do the record keeping because you're getting paid through them.
You're getting paid through them, and that keeps track of your income. It doesn't keep track of your expenses, which many. I have a couple of blog posts on record keeping. There are some really cool cloud-based, CPA and me coming out, cool-based accounting software, woo! Cloud-based stuff called FreshBooks or Wave are two of the ones I recommend. But yeah, there comes a point, and this is one of the wonderful things your student will learn is the importance of the record keeping in their business, okay? Not just the income they make, that's important, but also the expenses, to know where their money's going, to know if they're making a profit. So anyway, that's a list of some services. I had a virtual assistant for a couple years until he got a joke. His name was Noah, until Jonah got too entrepreneurial for me and went and started his own business. Quit being my virtual assistant. But he was using, Wave to bill me. He would bill me, invoice me for the work he did for me. Okay, any other questions at this point? Let's take a little break before I go into the next part of this. Yeah, so you have some ideas rolling around in your head? Yes, ma'am.
Question, when you were talking about the sales tax, I thought if you sell online, you are not required to collect sales tax.
Okay, it's complicated. Sales tax is extremely complicated, and the online sales tax is extremely complicated too. So she said if I sell online, I thought I didn't have to collect sales tax. The rule of thumb is this word called nexus. Nexus is your physical location. If you have a physical location in a state, let me just use by example. I sell books. I'm from Ohio. When I'm sitting in Ohio and I'm selling a book, if you buy a book from me and you're sitting in Michigan, there's no sales tax transaction, okay? You're supposed to be paying Michigan. Did you? No, most of us don't when we buy online. You're supposed to be paying your state sales tax to your state when you buy online if you're not charged. States are angry because most of us are not doing it. If you're in Ohio with me and I'm sending the book that you ordered online to Ohio, I have PayPal set up that it collects sales tax, Ohio sales tax from you, okay? And then thankfully PayPal takes care of it. I have it set up with a couple of shopping carts, they're called, to take care of paying the sales tax. When I come physically into a state like Michigan, I'm collecting, my nexus has followed me, and now I have a physical presence in nexus in the state of Michigan, and I must pay sales tax to the state of Michigan because I entered their state and made sales. Sales tax is extremely complex. Also, some states like Ohio is starting to charge on e-books and electronic books. So I have to charge sales tax on electronic books that I sell. It's getting very complex. So it's a lot of homework to think of. That's another problem with products, even digital products. Yes?
Does sales tax affect how much you make in
your
business?
Does sales tax affect how much you make in a business? That's really an excellent question. What sales tax is it's you are actually a government agent when you are selling a product and collect sales tax. You are doing work for the government. So if I sell a product to Caleb, I have to add on 6% here in Michigan. It's 6.75% in my county in Ohio, but anyway, 6% here in Michigan. I add it on and I send it to the state of Michigan. I am doing Michigan's work for them, aren't I? I am a government agent when I collect and I send it to Michigan. So it gets added on the top of your product. Yeah. Yes, sir. Good questions, guys. Taxes for services depends on the state. And you'll have to do some research at your state. In my state of Ohio, I don't know Michigan well enough, but maybe some of you do. These are excellent questions, by the way. I love the way you guys are thinking. CPA is just loving this. Many times the services are not sales taxable. That's kind of the general rule. But every once in a while, our governor, Governor Kasich, keeps trying to tax services in Ohio. He's trying to reduce the income tax. Is this happening in Michigan? Reduce the income tax and increase the sales tax. And he tries to tax lawyers and accounting services. He's never been successful because lawyers and accountants have lobbyists. Yeah. So, but in Ohio, there is a sales tax on lawn services. If you make more than $4,000 a year in lawn services. So I've got one kid, I'm not sure, I think I might have his picture. Anyway, Lucas, he made $10,000 doing lawn services. And we're like, the law doesn't say when does sales tax come into effect, $4,001? It just says when you make more than $4,000. So we interpreted the law to mean starting after $4,000, you have to start charging sales tax, Lucas. Well, we didn't know that. So unfortunately, he had not collected it from his clients. It'd be really kind of weird to say, oh, I just made a little too much money, Mr. Jones. Now you have to pay sales tax. The law is badly written, in my opinion. Okay, what they're really trying to say is if you're just a high school kid and we assume you're not going to make more than $4,000, which of course they've not adjusted, we'll just not make you charge sales tax. It's very badly written, but simple question, very difficult to answer because it might depend on the service that you're doing in your state. I have to do a little research. Is there another question before I take her? In the back, and then I'll get yours again. Yes? Wow. Okay, let me repeat that. What she said was she does cleaning for her, it's her grandpa in this case, but it could be any client. And when you clean for the business, you have to charge sales tax, but when you clean for his personal home, you don't. There we go. That's one of the complications of sales tax, and you have to do your research in your state. That's really unusual that a house cleaning service, but I guess because it's for a business, Michigan says that's a sales taxable event. Heavy sigh. There is, at least at the federal income tax level, I'm not going to call it a loophole, but there is an advantage tax status for teenagers who work in and around the home, like cleaning, and it's called household employee. You can go to teensandtaxes.com, one of my websites, and look up household employee if you want to. Basically, babysitters, lawn care, who go to work around someone's home do not have to pay, if they're under 18, the worker. They're considered a household employee. And they do not have to pay self-employment tax, which is Social Security, which is 15% of your profits. So, anyway, this is not a discussion about taxes, but just something you might want to look at.
Thank you for joining the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with Carol Topp here at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. For more helpful information, visit Carol at her website, homeschoolcpa.com.